We could clip it in the air now. Any middle schoolers, if you want to go ahead and connect Bob Ward, who's going to be one of the teachers, he wants to connect with you right off the bat. So if you want to go ahead, middle schoolers, and head out and talk to Bob, he's going to be out there. And then you're going to be back in so that you can participate in Haiti, what we're going to talk about in Haiti and everything else today. And for some reason, you guys are going to have to make up your own words to the song. But it's all good. It's pretty easy. We're going to get started, though. The lights are... Oh, look, I see something. Here we go. Praise the Lord, right? Woo. Just to let you know, this is what Satan's tried to do continually with this whole mission to Haiti and what God's called us to do there. So let's open with prayer today, okay? Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we recognize that that we are just along for the ride, When there are mountains that get in our way, that you make the mountains flat. And sometimes we may have to climb a little bit, but God, we know that you make the climb all worth it. So as this service, which you knew, is going to come about, and right now, as our brothers and sisters in Haiti are worshiping around the same time with us, we know that same Holy Spirit joins us together. And so God, right now, we just claim the rest of this time for you. We take every authority against Satan and his enemies to change any of this, and just bring your will, your message, and your song. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There's a storm coming in the distance. Some will run to it, some will resist it. Our eyes will turn to the sky. Desert hearts look into the heavens, desperate for your holy fountain. Our eyes will turn to the sky.
Thirsty now, come Lord and rain it down, come Lord with thirsty now, come Lord and rain it down, rain down on us. Yeah. to see you in your presence, all darkness will fade. Shine your glory, let glory surround. I'm longing to see you now. God, pour out your grace, glorious grace, that I would be held by your perfect embrace. I am undeserving, you are high and worthy. All of my praise for this glorious grace. God, pour out your grace, glorious grace, that I would be held by your perfect embrace. I am undeserving, you are high and worthy. For this glorious grace, all of my praise for this glorious grace. God, your grace, like
your word real to us in the power of your Holy Spirit. For we praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, before you sit down, I'd like to just say hello to everyone around you, to greet them with the love of God. And for our children, I'm not sure. I think some of the older Sunday school is staying in, but the rest of them can go ahead to our Shoreline Sunday School. All right. I hope everyone's doing well. Sounds like we're ready to roll today. Okay. want to welcome our visitors. We want to welcome our visitors here. Hopefully you're able to fill out a card. We have a small gift for you. If you take it out here, we'll go ahead and get you taken care of with that gift. And just want to thank you for being part of our worship today. In addition to that, if you're also joining us online and visiting for the first time, whether it's through Facebook Live or through Haven's website or app, we want to say hi. Everybody say hi to online church. There we go. Good. See, you're loved here. So, and you, everybody on online, say hi to everybody here. Good. All right. So we're glad that everybody's connecting in whatever way God has given us to be here. You can read some information that is here. You can see the information about becoming a member of Haven. You can look at that. Also, if you want to go ahead and look at the information about Stephen Ministry, we talked about that before. There have been inserts, and so that will... you're taking applications for those who want to be Stephen ministers. And we also ask if anybody wants to connect and would like to have a Stephen minister. Small group leadership training will be September 26th here at 6:30. This is for the small group that many of you may have a clipboard. I think, is it in each section? You have one right there. It says Crazy Love on it. Somebody may have, you may have one. Do we have, where's Debbie? Do we have one or just a couple? Yeah, we have a couple. So if you want to look at that, we want people to sign up for our we're going to be spending 7 weeks in church talking about crazy love. It's about the love we need to have for God. And it comes from a series and also primarily a book that was written by one of the best teaching pastors around, one of the men who is the most real pastor I've ever seen. His name's Francis Chan. Anybody ever heard of Francis Chan? Dynamic individual. I challenge you to go ahead and look at this. Last time our fall ministry small group series that we kicked off was one called Radical, and many of you might remember that from last year. And today we are here going to talk about some of the fruition that came about because we stepped out and saw God's vision in Radical. So by all means, sign up on that. And a lot of people say small group leader get really nervous. What we are looking for is some people who are willing and could just facilitate and play a video. And then just kind of facilitate through it. And we will do all the rest of the training. Youth group starts today. You can see that information. So you want to come, pizza, fun, and fellowship, right? All right, there we go. You can always tell group leaders. Yoo-hoo! All right. If you're interested and you want to say woo to this, there are a couple Sunday school teachers that are still needed. Hurricane Harvey relief. You can tell we've been raising money for that, and we talked about that we actually have boots on the ground with somebody there, Mike and Katie Doan, who are members of our online church now because they can't commute from Texas every week, and they have just been God's hands and feet there, you guys have been awesome by contributing. You can still contribute to that, and we will make sure every dime of that gets in Mike and Katie's hands, and they're going ahead and making sure that goes out to the people who really need it to recover their lives and just to make life work right now when they've lost everything. So if you want to continue to do that also. Also, there's a supply for emergency road tending shelter, which I believe might be there, if you'll start that around. And also, flyer for Haiti, is that the little insert? We'll talk about that in a second. We'll talk about that within the context with the section for Haiti. It looks here. It says my commitment, and we will talk more about that as the service goes on. And then there's people in prayer. We want to recognize Michael Stecker, asked for the prayers for the family of Linda Popper as she passed away and a service on Friday, and it's a service today. She died at age 55 of cancer. So we want to go ahead and lift that family up in your prayers. Okay. And if we have anyone else to add to the prayer list, I challenge you to go ahead and fill those out. Yes, Christopher.
I got an accident Wednesday morning.
You did?
Yeah, praise God.
Well, we're thrilled. Chris is fine in here praising the Lord. So see, he was in an accident on Friday morning. He's praising the Lord a lot. So you guys, Wednesday? Okay, well, he's praising the Lord already, and we're glad for that, Chris. We're glad that God was watching over you. I know Mom is, right? So continue to lift Chris in your prayers as well. And everyone else in your prayers, okay? Go ahead and fill that out. You can do it online from the app or also from just the regular website, and we'll make sure that Debbie gets that and gets those things out to our prayer request as we lifted people up throughout the week. Continue to lift them up in your prayers, okay? Yes, Dale. Okay.
Okay, is that Chris? Oh, your oldest? Huh? Tessie. Okay, so we want to lift up Tessie in prayers and your Uncle Don. Tessie has been put in the hospital with some heart issues. And what was your Uncle Don again? Okay, diagnosed with terminal cancer. So we want to lift him up in your prayers and everyone else. Is there anyone else that we need to touch on? Yes, in the back. Okay. Okay, so we want to lift her up in prayers that she's in renal failure. And also we're glad, around when we left for Haiti, Carol was in an accident. And so we're glad that God protected her and brought her through all that. So we're thrilled that God's been there. Natalie. Okay. So with family alcoholism, we want to deal with that as well. Any others before we go to the Lord in prayer? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, right now we come to you with so many needs. And God, we know that only you can make a difference in the lives of all of us. And so, God, as we lift up these concerns and these prayers, people who are struggling with cancer and receiving terminal disease, those who have lost their battle with cancer, but God, we know that they may have won the victory in this world, and maybe with you if they know you. For those who are in the hospital with heart issues and disease and other kinds of things, God, we just aren't sure what those things may be. And those who struggle with addiction and all kinds of areas, God, sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we just ask right now that you go ahead and touch those many needs that exist around here. There are people that are in need in so many ways, and God, you are the answer to it all. And today, Lord, as we move to this point where we can just take time to honor you, receive your tithe and our offerings. For those who are giving online, I give you praise for them. For those who are giving here, I give you praise for them. Because ultimately, God, it is not about us. It is about you, your kingdom, that it will last forever, that we can change. We change one life, and one life comes to know you. Then we have done the greatest thing that we could for someone. We've introduced them that although this life is difficult, that they have a place in heaven next to their Heavenly Father. So the rest of the service, God, we commit to you. In Jesus' mighty name, bless these gifts and bless the tither and the giver. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
So I like to say that God picks the songs I don't. You know, this is true this week because this song was brought to me after the Haiti trip. And, you know, we sang it one time and I thought, well, let's do it this week. I didn't know we were doing Haiti this week. I didn't know we were talking about this. And so it goes so well, and that just proves that God's with us. And, you know, I know it meant a lot to the mission team as you guys sang the song with the people in the church down there. And, you know, we said, you know, the mission team went to Haiti. You know, we all went to Haiti in some way or another. So I want us all to stand up right now as we sing the song together. We're going to sing about how good you are, Lord. So I know we practice it a certain way, you know, and I'm like, God's saying, let's start with the chorus. He's saying, let's start with that. You know, I just want to, let's just start off singing this together.
You are good. The echo of my days, oh, he is my song. You are down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down.
Sing it again.
You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down.
We have two scripture readings today. The first is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. And from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him.
Sometimes I think, what will people say of me when I'm only just a memory? When I'm home where my soul belongs, was I loved when no one else would show up? Was I Jesus to the least of us? Was my worship more than just a song? Never.
Go ahead. There's some stools in the back there as well. All right. Now you guys get to talk, right? Get to talk after seeing that. I don't think any one of us has dry eyes after seeing that, right? All right. So what we wanted to do, and, you know, through the last several weeks, I shared with many of you some of the stuff that we kind of went through, and Emmigail put that video together, so just to give a glimpse of some of the stuff we experienced that were there. But we wanted to take you through the trip, and then I just wanted to share with you. So here's what we're going to kind of do. We're going to take you through a little bit what we experienced in the trip. We're going to talk about opportunities to still connect, and then we're going to share where we think God is leading us, which is really some really awesome stuff here, okay? So the first thing was we had to get to Haiti, okay? And that was one of the things. And just to let you know, I know about, I'm one of those people who waits to the last second to pack anything, and I got home late, and I thought I was packing. Actually, I had a fantasy football draft, something important. And so I went ahead, and when I got home, by the time I got done doing everything, it was probably about 2 or 3, and we had to be up there what time? 6, and I got there about 6:30, right, Debbie? Isn't that what I did? But one of the things that happened about 4 o'clock in the morning or so, Jacob came down and was not feeling well. Melissa happened to be working that night, and long story short, Jacob had to go to the hospital. Melissa had to come home and take him. So immediately, I was hit with something on the way, and my mind was not fully there, but we made it. So guys, tell me about your experience getting there, and then particularly our experience in, we have this to pass around, our experience in the airport in Philadelphia, and then our first view of Haiti, our trip down. Who wants to share? Emmigail, here you go.
Okay.
It's on.
It's
talking
on?
To it.
Okay, so when we first got to the airport, all of us were really, really tired. We got through all of the stuff before we had to sit down and wait for our plane. And somebody comes over the, what is it called?
Loudspeaker.
The speaker and says, trip to Fort Lauderdale, your plane is bad.
They actually said it was a bad plane.
They said it's a bad plane. So all of us are like, oh my gosh, it's a bad plane. What are we going to do? So they said we have to wait until a new plane comes. And then 10, 15 minutes later.
Well, just to add on to that, they said that the new plane wasn't going to come into.
Sorry. the new plane wasn't going to be available until like 1 o'clock, and then we would have missed our connecting flight in Fort Lauderdale to get to Haiti. So that's all going through our minds.
So then not even 15 minutes later, they get back on and say, just kidding, it's a good plane, we're ready to go.
Yeah, no joke.
So all of us are like, oh my gosh, we're going to die. We're going to crash and die. So that was not very a good way to start out. Right. So,
anybody else? Start off. Yeah. Anybody else about, okay, when we finally got from the bad plane to good plane in 15 minutes. And one of the things was we started to pray, and people sent texts to people and said, start praying. And so we believe that it was a bad plane, but God went, oh, good plane, okay? And we got down there in Fort Lauderdale, and guess what? We were delayed again in Fort Lauderdale. Gave us a chance to meet our other group. But tell us some of our experience from either Fort Lauderdale and first experience in Haiti.
Oh, my. That was a long time laying there. Yeah. So me, Dakota, and Emigail, and
Tessa,
and Mackenzie, we were all braiding our hair and all that. Then we all decided, let's lay on the floor and just sleep. So I'm laying in between chairs, squished up. Dakota's in the middle, and Emigail's on the other side, and we have, like, no blankets. And I'm sleeping on my sweater like this, and my face has, like, this line and all this. And then we are there for, like, how long? Like, 4 hours?
Yeah, like 4 hours.
It felt like 2 million years. Only because the co-pilot didn't come.
The co-pilot got sick and decided not to show up.
And then we walked around. Jamie, we couldn't find you for like, we were all...
Yeah, we went to the station. The plane was boarding, so they were all looking for me. I'd get milkshake. So I come back. We still waited for another like 45 minutes before they boarded the plane. I had plenty of time to get my milkshake.
Okay.
Yeah, we all freaked out. It was really funny though. And then
all right, let's see some first experience in Haiti. We land and it's dark.
Okay, so I had really hoped we'd get there in the daylight because you're going to a strange place anyway. So then it's more scary at night. So we're all excited and ready to go and. They open the doors, and mind you, this is not BWI or Philly. This is like a little airport with, I don't know, one gate. I don't know. And they open the doors, and you're immediately hit with that humidity. And all these people are like lining the track for us to go. And they were like, don't let anybody carry your bags. They'll fight over the dollar you're going to give them. So we all, like, are clutching our bags and going out, and the humidity hits you in the face, and there are just Haitians that are just lining the area to go. And we go, and they say, okay, here's your ride. It's this old rickety school bus that you would never, ever get on in if we were here. And it's got... The seats are broken. The front windshield was like shattered in 10,000 pieces. And these foreign Haitian men are like, welcome. We're going to take you to where you're going. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord. Yeah.
And we were going to give them Lisa to save the rest of us.
Yeah. So. Yeah. They were ready to give them. We threw all our bags in the back of this bus and on we go.
Shelly, could you share with us, like, the ride? Because we were all kind of hepped up, and something happened on the ride, right, while we were riding?
So I sat next to the emergency exit, and I think we rounded the first corner out of the parking lot, and the door opened up. And I thought, oh, welcome to Haiti. Here you go. Fall out of this rickety old school bus. But... So we're driving around, and even though it was dark, we could see... that, you know, conditions were really poor, and I think none of us were expecting what we saw. I mean, I even looked at pictures before we left on the internet, and I thought, there's no way it could be this bad. This must have been right after the earthquake and things like that. And I think as we just were so emotional, I think most of us were just crying the whole way to the hotel that night.
Dead silence.
Backing up just kind of back to the airport, like it was almost like a culture shock as soon as we opened the doors, you know, like like Lisa was saying, like you get faced with the heat, but the smell just kind of hits you in the face also. And you're walking along this pathway, and you feel almost like a zoo animal because everyone is along this fence just staring at us walking out.
Into a very dark parking
lot. And all you hear, Haiti loves music. So all you hear is a party going on, you know, all around us.
Right.
And then, we get onto the bus, and you're, like, bracing yourself because we put our lives in Ebby, our bus driver, that week. Thank God for him and the trust that we had in him by the end of the week, I would say, because we were bracing ourselves with the first trip.
It's basically like every car for yourself, any way you want to get there.
And so there's no rules. Our first ride. And the sights that we see are just devastating as soon as we arrive.
All right, let's go ahead and let's talk about the next day in church, because we got a lot of different things. But we got to our hotel and we all kind of crashed a little bit. We went to the church, ate food, but some of us, after seeing what we saw, we're just like, oh my gosh, how can we? James met us, our guy, and he's like, I want to pray. And we always say, I want to pray. James is a good guy. But here we go. This is Pastor Oog, and this is our first day in church. John, I think, did you want to talk about our first day in church? We had to dress up, and it was hot.
So, we all had to dress up. And when we get there, it's extremely hot, and they have just like an outdoor tent and some benches that they had thrown together, nothing like the luxury we have here. And just walking in, just seeing the little children as we are walking into the little compound area, if you will, where Pastor Oog is at, it's just amazing to see the little kids and the looks on their face and the excitement when we came in there. And they were all coming in. They didn't want to come in completely, but they'd be peeking at us, and then we'd wave at them, and then they'd go back. So that was pretty cool. And there was only a handful of people there. And Pastor Oog and his wife were up front. And just to see the love for God and the love when we came in there, just to, just complete strangers from America to come in there and for them just to open up their church to us and to be completely accepting was awesome. And I think all of us felt when we were in there, we could feel the Holy Spirit was 100% there. I can't even really describe the feeling that came across me when I was in there, but it was awesome.
I said we come here every Sunday and we worship in a great place, and we have music and sound and video, and I was so humbled the second I walked in there. There was the wife was leading worship, and she was singing to the top of her lungs, beating the beat on a podium.
I have
no idea what they're saying, but she's beating the beat on the podium. And she's singing, and the Holy Spirit just hit me like, wow. I mean, I just felt overwhelmed and humbled by what we think we have to have in order to worship God. And it was just so, thank you. And so it was really humbling. And then this little child just got up and read the scripture. And talk about amazing. You just say to yourself, wow, little children are learning the Bible, in Haiti. And it seems like a stupid thing to realize, but it was really powerful.
All right, and then right after that, some of us brought a change of clothes, some of us didn't, right, Sonia, from church, and we got to walk around the community of Gressier, and they kind of taught us, took us around, and we got to see some things that we weren't quite sure about not seeing. And some of these, like there's a little girl right there, Natalie, she adopted Emmigail day one, and some of the other kids adopted others, and they walked around with us, and it was very interesting, because it was kind of like a pride to show them exactly what was going on. Jebby, did you want to share anything about the community Gressier? Anybody else want to share about Gressier? Do you want to, Rachel? Here you go. Go ahead.
So I think that one of the things that struck me most is we had a guy that took us through their homes. Their homes are just cinder block homes, and they're all in various stages of construction because they just build them with the resources they have at the time. So they can buy five blocks, they buy five blocks and put them on. There's no electric. They don't have front doors. They don't even have actual windows. They just have spaces in the cinder block, and they hang like old clothes and old blankets. And and I think even though I knew it was poor, and that's fine, because I was prepared for that, what I wasn't prepared for is that they still take pride in that. We worry about what we don't have every day. We don't have this, we don't have that. They don't have anything, and they're still joyful. And the little kids, they followed us through the neighborhood. That little Natalie, she just followed us, and we didn't find out till later on in the week that her father was part of the crew that was working on the building, but her parents didn't even know. That struck me, that all these little kids were just wandering around, and no one knew where they were. Mm-hmm. So.
The first day, I remember walking along with James, and I was trying to brace my emotions. Here it comes. I was trying to brace my emotions for the week, and I was trying to get a hold of what we were about to embark on. And I said to him, you know, how does it make you feel as our leader for us to come into your land and feel so bad about what we see about your home, you know? Like, I was feeling bad about what I was seeing, and it's his home. But again, the spirit of the Haiti people to have nothing, and you saw the joy in their faces in the video. And his only response was not to feel bad for us, because God provides. And that was just so powerful for me on the very first day.
All right, so what we did, that later that day we went back and we got to spend some time because we stayed in a hotel, which we were all very grateful for, right? There were some of us that didn't want to do that at first, but we were graciously thanking God for this hotel, which basically our hotel room was very hot. And then about 3 o'clock in the morning, you could hang meat up there. It was frozen. But that's okay because Jill had all Jim and my blankets and pillows, and they had it all in somebody else's room. But and hot water, it wasn't there. It was a commodity if you could find it. But still, it was greater than anything else they had. And I was that night thinking, okay, well, I'm supposed to be working out and all this kind of stuff. How am I going to do this? Because here, hotels have gyms, right? Just to let you know, when we got to Gracier the next day, we began to do some different things. One of those was tree ministry. And remember, you guys supported that we were able to bring, what, 200 and some trees that we were able to support them with. And just to clarify that, trees, we give them fruit trees that they can plant, and that is a source of their food. You automatically give them a continual source of food. So I want to thank the church, anybody who gave to that, because you helped plant 200 trees in this community and give them, and they were very gracious. We had people who did tree ministry. Mackenzie, you want to talk about that? Because I know Mackenzie loved tree ministry, didn't you, girl? So there you go.
Hi. So I did the tree ministry every day, and just to kind of like explain what we did, we had a person who worked with Praying Pelican, Jonas, who just kind of made sure that we were okay, and we also had a member of the community, somebody who lived in the area that we were going to, lead us around from house to house, and Jonas had a machete on hand at all times, which was just as discomforting as it was relieving. But each house was fenced in kind of by like a tin wall, and he would just go up and smack the wall with his machete, and somebody would say bonjour, and then we could go in. And that was something that really stood out to me, was that I don't think anyone ever turned us down. No one said, you cannot come in here and talk to me about God. Like, no one refused to let us in.
Along with that, though, like, if Jonas ever knocked on your door, you never.
Yeah. Right. We would go in, and there would always be a family, and we would ask them, well, we would tell them why we were there, to spread God's love, and we would ask them if they wanted a tree. Most of them said yes, and then we would ask if they had anything that they would like to pray about. And even if somebody did not want a tree, everyone had something that they wanted us to pray for, which I thought was amazing as well, because most of their prayers were to grow closer to God. Even though some of them had sicknesses that they wanted to pray for, even though some of them asked for help with their financial life, everyone said, in addition to that, I want to grow closer to God. So we would just all join hands and pray for them. And in that, we would also grow closer to God ourselves, seeing these people, being in their homes with them, and really kind of walking their life throughout their community. It was really an amazing thing.
Good. All right, cool. Here you go. Let's get this. Dakota, want to share a little bit?
Yeah.
There you go.
So more to go off of what the tree ministry thing. There was always Jonas, and then there were these two other people. There was Emanuela, and did you know his name?
Widmeyer.
They could both speak some English, and you connected with the guy, and I connected with Emanuela, and she gave me a bracelet, and I haven't taken it off, and there's three beads on it, and she said, one for me, one for Jesus, and one for her. So that really touched me, too.
All right, thanks. Okay, anything else at Tree Ministry that anybody has real quick? Let's go real quick, because I'm going to hit us with the next thing.
Do we want to mention about the woman, or no?
We will. We'll cover that later.
Later?
Okay, go ahead. All right, here we go.
So my favorite story was Sonia, myself, Mackenzie, and Jack did Tree Ministry the last day that we were there. So... I think it was the second house we go into, and there's a woman, and she's got like six kids. Not all hers, she was babysitting. As soon as we walk in, they start hollering, Blanco, 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 which is white. And I mean, like, they just stood there and yelling at us, like, Blanco, Blanco, Blanco. It was so funny. And then Jack, of course, starts hollering. What did you holler back?
Noir, which means black. So. And she had a little Barbie doll in her mouth that was a little white Barbie doll. And I pointed out, and I said, Blanco, Blanco. And she went, got this big grin. But this little guy, he didn't want no parts of us. He took off and went hid. So it was kind of cool.
It was hilarious,
very, very cool. Very, very cool. All right. So while we were doing that was one of the areas that we did. The other area was construction. And let me tell you, I found out why I went to school not to do this. Primarily, when we showed up, initially, there was some ditches. You can see the ditches that are there, and it was old school concrete. What? Yeah, I didn't have to worry about working out anymore because I did this. John, you want to talk a little bit about construction?
Sure. Sweaty John. Well, like Jack said, and you can see the photos up here. There was just some trenches, and when we got there, we started getting more and more and more as the days go on into the construction projects, and it reminded me how here we really don't work as hard as we think we do, because the Haitian guys that were hired there on the construction crew that we were assisting were putting us to shame as far as what we were doing. But we had piles of gravel, dirt, stone, whatever they could use to put in as filler and then concrete, to mix the concrete. I forget the guy's name, but he mixed
Junior. Henri.
He mixed the concrete. They just throw it in a pile on the ground. They don't have a mixer. They don't have a wheelbarrow that they were mixing it in. And they just mix a huge pile with the shovel all day long. This guy is a machine. So he mixed that, then you throw it into 5-gallon buckets. So after mixing all that and you're tired, you have to shovel it into a 5-gallon bucket. Then you proceed to carry those 5-gallon buckets over and you dump them in wherever the foundation that we were building. And we were talking about when you dump one 5-gallon bucket in there, it's like, really? There's like nothing, it looks like nothing is even there. But as you see, I can't see the photos, but as it progressed throughout the week, it was amazing to see what had happened. And I'm sure at the end you're going to see, you know, an end result of some of the buildings, which is just amazing. But it was extremely hard work. We were all there spreading the word of God, and we are certainly soaked in sweat. You could probably wring our shirts out. I know you could mine.
That's a picture of the well. That's how you got well water.
Oh, yeah.
And it had a 5-gallon bucket that you would pull up basically on a toe strap. John did 15 in a row,
and
he didn't want to do it ever again. And then we made a contest out of it. It was 40 meters deep. So that's how you got water, not to drink.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just construction. That's just to mix the concrete. So that's not even drinking water. So it's a lot of stuff.
All right. So let me go ahead and hand this Do you want to talk about construction? Or no, Jamie, you want to talk about? Natalie? Go ahead, Natalie.
So I remember I was carrying a bucket over of, I think it was rocks and dirt, and I was carrying over. What was the guy's name again? It was Natalie's,
Henri.
I feel someone tapping me, and he's like, your shoes, and I was like, oh, okay, they're all both untied, and I went to go tie them.
There's Henri there. That's the cement mixer.
Yeah. I was like, no. He was like, no, and he starts tying my shoes and stops all he's doing just to do that for me, and I thought it was really nice, because he's doing all this work, but just stops me to tie my shoes.
There he is mixing. Yep. All right. So we can say, go ahead and give that to Sonia real quick, and then we'll move on.
I keep getting real quick, Jack.
We know you. We spent a week with you, Sonia.
So John mentioned it was hard labor in hot heat. But again, like, we're standing on top of a hill. You have Jack over there twerking. We have the guys from Haiti.
That's how I was sifting out the concrete.
You know, the guys are giving song requests for Chris Brown, you know, from Haiti. And we just had so much fun with it each and every day. And the teamwork that we all worked together from Haiti to us to the other group was amazing to get this work done. We showed up one day, and it's like, oh, yay, we're greeted with a big dirt mound. Mm-hmm. Okay. But again, like, talking back about the spirit of the people, if you can't tell, I'm a little emotional. So, you know, Henrique was sitting here, like, we're trying to clean up this pile. My words are starting to jumble, guys. But, and then all of a sudden he comes and cleans it up, and we're trying. I'm losing it.
That's right.
But I said to Jim, we're causing more work for them. Like, let's figure something out here. And Jim's like, oh no, I think he's done this before. And I'm like, no. And I'm starting to panic. I was like, I need a translator. I was like, I don't want to make more work for you. And again, like, they're helping us help them. Right. You know, like, it just went on all week long with just the smallest things that are so impactful. And Jack is going to take the mic.
One of the things that you see there, and I wanted to touch on this, because we talked a lot about the building part, but one of the things I know that John and Jim did primarily, and I know you're going to talk later, so I'm going to let you have the mic then, is we helped build, how many were they?
Seven
beds for people in the community. And then Pastor Oog went ahead and sent us pictures afterwards that showed the families that are getting these and just changed their lives. And it was a good day's work, and you can see those are, what was that?
Even for old guys.
Even for old guys. There we go. Okay. There's so much, and we could go on forever, but I'm trying to keep us all with time. And let's go kids ministry. Rachel, I mean, I'm going to start with you. And we haven't heard from Tessa yet. I'd like to hear from Tessa. And Debbie, we'll get you with women's ministry. Okay? So go ahead.
So we had 3 days that we did essentially vacation Bible school for the kids. We have been given very strict guidelines on how much time and things like that, so it was really hard to condense everything that we wanted to do into that short amount of time. Dakota and Emigail and Natalie worked really hard on learning how to sing Jesus Loves Me in Haitian, mm-hmm. which was great. Dakota, I will say, she picked up the Haitian language like I don't know what. Every day when we did scripture, Jonas would translate it. He'd write it out phonetically on a piece of paper, the little piece of paper that we could find most of the days. It was the concrete bags that we ripped off. But he'd hand it to Dakota. 5 minutes, she would have it down pat. Mm-hmm. I don't know how she did it, but she did a great job with that. We learned to sing songs with them. We had a great day of singing. He holds the whole world in his hands. We sang it in English. Then Jonas got the kids all started, and they sang it back to us in Haitian. It struck me because every day the kid, you know, they would see our bus coming and they would come out and they would all want to play. And then they would go home at lunch because we would have to shut the gates and we would eat lunch. They would go home and eat lunch. And they would come back in the afternoon knowing that there was vacation Bible school, and they would come back in their Sunday best every single day. And the little girls, they were all wearing our hand-me-down Christmas dresses and Easter dresses that our little girls wore 3, 4, 5 years ago, and these girls would wear the same tattered and torn dresses with so much pride every single day because it meant so much to them to come and share the love of God. And it just amazed me. You know, a lot of us, we drag our kids out of bed every morning to come to, you know, every Sunday to come to church. These kids were filled with joy, and when they sing the songs,
their faces light up and they have the greatest smiles in the world. So next time when we go back, now we know, we were told they would not be that attentive for a long period of time. They will, they soak it up like sponges. So I already have like tons of lessons in my brain.
Okay, here we go. Tessa, did you want to share anything here in this section? Okay, there we go.
Mostly I remember something that made me mostly happy. I always played soccer with the kids, and they were so competitive, and they just made me look horrible. And soccer was one of their best games. They were open to playing a lot of things, and it was just so great because I got to learn how to play soccer. Now I want to play soccer. But it was just great how to connect to them. They understood my body language, how I was talking to them. It was just great.
Go ahead, Nicole.
Another thing that the kids taught, they liked handshakes. So me and Natalie picked up this handshake really well.
And remember, they're aggressive.
You just kept repeating it. And they would
tried to teach me, but I couldn't do it.
To leave church today, you're all going to have to do that, okay? Now, one of the things that was really cool is we had tree ministry in the morning, and while some were doing tree ministry, others were doing construction, and then we'll go to the kids ministry, and then there would be like some other stuff with the kids going on, and then we'd eat lunch, cretins, right, John? Anybody know what cretins are? We don't either, but we think we ate it. And they put it on a sub. It worked. And Debbie never got breakfast at all. I think she's still waiting for her breakfast. She got oatmeal. That's right. She doesn't like. She likes oatmeal now. We converted Debbie to oatmeal. But one of the things was, then after that, there was a point for women's ministry. And as John was mentioning about church, one of the things that happened is, you know, that first day it was really low. And Pastor Oog said, if they knew you were going to be here, this place would have been, you wouldn't have had enough room for you. And we were kind of like, you know, here I am. I'm a pastor in the United States. I'm like, yeah, they probably had like a soccer game on or something that they had to go to. But no, it was filled. And so, Debbie, would you talk a little bit about the women's ministry?
Sure. So women's ministry was held every afternoon after the kids' VBS. So the idea was that the kids would be handled, managed, and they would be playing while the moms would be in, you know, receiving their word. So what was really interesting is that, again, these women came, and in America, we're used to making sure we start exactly on time, right? Because if we go somewhere and something doesn't start on time, we're looking, we're waiting, getting impatient. At one point, I said, well, how long do you want me to wait, to our translator? And he looked. It was already 20 minutes after the time we were supposed to start. And he said, they'll come. So we were waiting and waiting. And they finally came. And many of them, they just sort of came from everywhere. And so as I thought about it, you know, as women, we often think that our lives are really hard in America. We're working, we're trying to fix dinner, we're doing the laundry. But you know what? We can put a load of laundry in and go fix dinner, right? These women, they don't have that luxury. They were washing clothes in the creek. And we would see during the tree ministry when we were going around, there would be little fires, little campfire things with a pot on it. So they have to start their dinner at 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, so that it can cook all day. They don't have lights. There is no electric. So these women, when they would come to us in the ministry time, it was not an easy life for them. And what we did, I planned out very short lessons because I knew that everything I said had to go through the translator, and then we had to wait for the women to respond, and then back and forth through the translator. So we did very simple lessons. We did one on love. We did one on beauty. And I had packed, so I will admit, my bag was the only bag overweight when we were going. And we're standing at TSA, and I'm pulling all the stuff out of my bag, and I'm shoving it in Tessa's bag. And I pull out, I have a stack of handheld mirrors, like you buy at the dollar store, the ones with long handles. And she's shoving them in there, and I'm saying, no, no, don't break them. I don't want them broken. So every single mirror made it to Haiti without getting broken. And we gave all the women mirrors. The first day was love, and we talked about love and God's love for us. And then they had the opportunity to paint a picture, which was really cool for them to, it was sort of the painting with a twist that many women do here, to see them enjoy that and to be able to just relax for a minute without their kids. That was really, really kind of cool. Then the next day was beauty, and I handed them out all the mirrors. And I knew they, after seeing their houses, they didn't have mirrors in there. And so more women came than what we had mirrors for, and they were all, well, I want one, I want one. And I didn't have enough to give them. So finally, the third day, the was sort of when we put everything together, and our focus was on value and our worth to God. And the scripture passage then, we went into the whole idea of the feet washing and putting ourselves, really serving others. So we formed a group, and we had four chairs, and we did a foot washing. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. You know, we all get baths every day, and our roads are nice, our sidewalks are nice. These women live in dirt-floored buildings, and their feet were, honestly, they were really dirty. And we had four people in the chairs, and we had four people in front of them washing their feet. And behind them, we had four of us, Jill, myself, and two girls from the other team, which were praying for each one of them. Now, when we started doing that, honestly, in my mind, I was like, okay, I'm praying for these women, no big deal. But I will tell you, the Holy Spirit fell. And Jill and I've talked about it over and over. The Holy Spirit just fell as we were praying. And Jill and I were able to see the needs of each one of those women as we were praying for them. It was absolutely amazing to see these women and to know their needs and to really minister to them. And they were open to us. And I think, you know, there was the language barrier, but I think they knew as well that it was really the Spirit of God moving there. It wasn't us. It was the Spirit of God. So that was women's ministry. I will tell you, my very first day there, I said to Jill, I said, wouldn't it be cool if we could do a women's conference where we do an all-day thing with the women?
Yes, we definitely want you to go ahead. I'm going to give you an opportunity.
For most of the week, I did not participate in any of the ministries. I did mostly construction because that's where I felt most comfortable. And the day that they did the feet washing, they needed somebody to either pray or wash feet. And I said, well, you know, I'm still learning so much about God and the Bible, and I'm just not comfortable with praying out loud yet because I don't know enough. In my mind, that's what I'm thinking, is I don't know enough to pray. So I'll wash feet. I was sitting there, and these women are so grateful for everything that you do for them. And I'm washing their feet, and they're smiling. They're hugging you. They're kissing you. And all I'm doing is washing their feet. I'm not doing anything special. But God touched me in a way that I never thought was possible, ever. There's words that you can't put to the feelings that you got when these women come up and you see their faces and something so simple. So simple. And it meant more to me than anything.
Yeah, real quick, I'll just echo. I was in the same boat as Debbie in that they said, who can pray? Who can pray? Who can wash feet? Who can pray? Who can wash feet? And they're like, Jill, you can pray. I said, yeah, I can pray. So I get up behind the woman and I put my hands on her shoulders. And Shelly was washing the feet in front of me, and I'm watching Shelly and I've got my hands on the shoulders. And then I lean over and I go, dear Lord, and bang, I just felt like I was wiped out. I just felt like, oh my gosh, this person is hurting. Oh my gosh, this person is scared. Oh my gosh, this person is in fear. And it was just such a connection. It was like a zap. And every woman, and they couldn't understand me because someone said, did you interpret? I'm like, no, I was just praying in her ear. And then everyone got up and they turned around and would hug you. And I think you've probably seen some pictures of some of them kissing us. It was just incredible.
One of the things that we found out by doing our tree ministry, during that week, 7 people came to know the Lord just by giving them a tree. And one of the girls, I think Jamie and Sonia were going to try to drag me out the day of tree ministry because I was talking to this girl, and she was obviously very disturbed. And I asked her about whether she knew Jesus. And she said, I was invited to church once, but I didn't have nice enough clothes because I'm living here now because I lost everything in the earthquake. Hurricane. Everything in the hurricane that hit here. I lost everything, and I'm living with this family. And we invited her to church, and I said, well, God doesn't care, and we had the translator, God doesn't care about what you're wearing. He cares about what's in here. And we were going back and forth, and you could just see that she was kind of like in this spiritual battle. And we said, can I pray with you? At first, she was like, no, but then she said, yes. We prayed with her. This was our last day there with the foot washing. She came, and she is in one of those pictures.
I actually washed her feet.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah.
Might
be.
I had the privilege of
it was her. And
she
actually accepted Christ that day.
So broken.
Yeah.
She couldn't even look at us.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to Jack later, like, this is where the language barrier was beneficial because I was talking to him and she couldn't understand, but I was like, Jack, you can't even look at us. She's right here facing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but she was basically saying, if you didn't hear, we were just pretty much begging her to come, and we thought she might not come. And when she showed up, we were like, we were doing construction, and we were like, yes! You know, God, that's awesome. Yeah, afterwards. It was awesome. It was incredibly awesome. She knew the songs. Then came the worst time. Our last day there, where we had to leave. So, Natalie, I know. Were you and Miguel? Go ahead. I'll start here.
Okay. So, my dad talked a little bit about the girl that I met on the first day, Natalie. And from the start, we just kind of clicked. She was like my little buddy the whole week. just give me a second. And so the day we left. Before the beginning of the day, she came running into me and she jumped in my arms and I grabbed the translator and I was like, can you please tell her I have to go home today? And so every day she went home at lunchtime to eat and everything, but that day she didn't. She made sure that she was in my arms the whole day. And so when we left, he said, get on the buses, and I went to put her down, and she did that thing that little kids do when they bring their legs back up, and she wouldn't let me put her down. And I was trying to hold back my tears, and as soon as I started crying, she leaned back, and she was crying too, and she took her little hands and wiped away my tears. And that was probably the hardest thing that I've ever had to do. So I'm just going to stop there.
You can go to Dakota, and then you can go to Natalie, or Natalie and Dakota, either one.
So mine isn't about just leaving Gracier. It was about leaving Haiti altogether. So when we left, I was like, I don't want to leave. I wanted to spend a lot more time there. As I'm here now, I kind of want to go back, but I kind of still want to stay here. But the people were so like nice to you and were inviting that you felt a part of the country, but you knew you weren't. So it's just hard leaving. Everyone was crying as we were leaving, and I remember we were all like in the hotel rooms, just like, why do we have to go? Why do we have to go? And then we finally left, and we were going through the bus and through the gates and stuff, still kind of like trying to remember all the good times. But it was still a really good time.
Okay, Dakota, can you share real brief?
Leaving Gracier was really hard for me because I made a lot of connections with people. And the hardest person that I had to leave
You got it, Mom?
So Samuel is a little boy that she connected with, which surprised her because she figured she would connect with a little girl because she's a girl. And she really connected with him. But I also have to say, as a mom and in front of the church, one night we were sitting doing worship service on top the roof, and Dakota came to know Christ. So that was probably the best mom moment I've ever had in my life, knowing that she came to know Christ sitting on a rooftop in Haiti.
And I just want to add one more thing about leaving Haiti. We didn't think Lisa was going to be able to get home with us, because every TSA that Lisa goes through, they pretty much strip search her. So if she's ever looking for a date, she's going to get a ticket somewhere on TSA. All right. And that's not a lie. Am I lying? No, I'm not lying. I'm not lying one bit.
That was not my first time being pat down. The one thing we didn't mention, and probably the only good part about leaving Haiti, was there was a very distinct smell. Haiti doesn't have like a centralized sanitation disposal. So as you're driving down the streets, there's trash everywhere, like just litter. And then on our bus ride from the school to Gracier, there was this one part where it was what we assumed was a landfill, but what they do is burn everything. And you know, it's trash, it's dead things, it's, you know, just rubbish. And everybody kind of knew where that was and just kind of took your shirt and held your nose. But I mean, we were kind of prepared for the poverty, but I don't think any of us dreamt of the filth that was really there, and just the smell. You cannot describe that smell. And I think a lot of it was trash, but some of it was things we didn't want to know. And yes, I did get pat down, but I'm here.
All right, a couple other things, and I'm going to give this to Jim as he's going to share something else, because like I said, we could share, and we're going to go over a little bit today. I hope you'll bear with us, because there's a lot of stuff. But one of the things, they actually did something for us, and you'll see some of the pictures. That's us praying with that young lady to receive Christ. They actually put on a lot for us. If you saw in the video, the girls kind of twerking, it was like Haiti's Got Talent. Everybody was coming up doing stuff, and I was like, don't worry, you knew me. I told them they all had to twerk in church on Sunday, and they didn't agree with it. But you know, they were giving back to us. I think, Shelley, you also received somebody who had that painting, which was probably one of the most biggest treasures. Somebody came and gave that to Shelley. And wrote, I love you on the back. Something that they had never had the opportunity to give. Somebody has it in their hands, where we say, oh, I've never had that, I want it. The best expression of love was to give that back. Yeah. Painted it for her with the unused paint and brought it back for her. So, you know, like I said, we could talk about this forever, and it was so great. One of the things, you can see the plaque out here that was given to us the next, and thankful, we did get a day at the beach with the pastor, and thankful that he came that day and his family, that we were able to share with them at this beach and to talk to them. Because for us, many people go on mission trips and have a different idea. I did this, great, I feel good, it touched my heart, let's go. But all of us, I think every single one of us said, no, no, we can't just come here and then leave. We can't just connect and then do something and go back. We can't, because we're changed. And we can't just leave these people who we love and who are our brothers and sisters. And so Jim's going to talk a little bit right now of what's happened since we got back. Right, Jim? So if you want to come up here so they can see you and share. And then I'm going to, don't get nervous. I know there's blanks in there. I'm going to zip through them really quickly because it's important. And then I'm going to share with you what God is doing next.
Can you put the chart up? So, a couple things. First, a thank you to everybody here and extended family and friends that allowed 16 people to have the experience we've just touched on. But even more importantly is the impact we're continuing to have on Pastor Hoog, the community, and the church. Numbers. 16 people went. We had no clue how we were going to afford to do this because it was about $1,700, turned out to be $1,800 a person to go by the time you include everything. Cost $29,350 through both personal pledges, commitments, solicitations, church giving. We wound up with $3,350 in pledges. We've already collected $27,000 of it. The remainder is still outstanding pledges. This is sort of a hint, year-end, remember. But this is a God thing, okay? When we left, there was a foundation that we worked on for the classrooms. There was a floor and some walls starting to go up, and the money was almost done. We had committed $1,000, and that was about all that could be done. We asked Pastor Hoog, Jack and I met with him one-on-one at the beach and asked him, what are the next steps? What are you going to do? What can we do to help you? Where's this going? Because this wasn't just, for many of us, a one-time thing. And it turned out, he said, look, to finish those buildings so I can teach the children, it's going to cost $2,500. We said, we can do that. So he was going to sell his car. And we mentioned that to a few people, and as well as some of the money that was still committed. So it went from the foundation to a floor to completed rooms with that $2,500 in a week's time. If you look at the picture on the right, they actually put a swing set, a merry-go-round, Haitian merry-go-round and stuff, and they're actually using it for classrooms, teaching the children now. It's a preschool, kindergarten age group. His vision is much more, but that's where he is right now. We then said, you know, but what else do you need? Because when we were there, the last service, they did the music they were dancing to. He had to run it off his car. When he talked to us, he charged his cell phone off his car. They don't have phones or anything. We borrowed a generator so John and I could use power tools to build those beds, okay? You know, can you imagine using a handsaw and hammer, nails, screwdriver? No. Us old guys can't. John can, but whatever. So we've sent him $1,250 for a generator. He's using it in the community. He's using it in the church. And the point I want to make is this is the God moment. The difference between the pledge and the cost is exactly the cost to finish the building and the generator. Okay? In the bottom right, there's a little passage that basically says, if God wills it, he'll provide it. And he did. The real step forward now is what do we do next? Because the pastor has no job. He's giving whatever he has to give to the community and to the people. And Jack's going to now talk a little bit about what we think are the next steps for us.
As I said, don't get nervous because you know you're not going to be here another hour, trust me. But I'm going to go over some things in your bulletin that I really believe, because the question always comes to me, because I always used to say, why mission? Why mission? We got enough, and one of the things is we got enough stuff to deal with in our own community. We got addiction, we have homelessness, we have all that. And I agree with that. And this church will never, ever change. I think Donna said the other night at a leadership team meeting, she said, this is a mission church. And we were all glad, and then I stopped and I said, how sad is it that we've got to separate the church in mission churches and other churches? Every church should be about mission. And I felt guilty that, convicted that in much of my year, hey, I've always been good with the evangelistic stuff, but the least of these that Jesus required of us, I missed out on for many years. And there's a Haitian saying that relates to their topography, but it's also something that says mountains beyond mountains, or beyond mountains there are mountains. And it's got two things. Two of those things are simply this, that beyond every great obstacle, there's another obstacle. And that has one meaning. But under the other one is that ideas are inexhaustible. So it has a dual meaning, which seems like everything in Haiti. I'm not going to go through all these scripture lessons, but one of the scripture lessons that came to mind is where in John chapter 17, it said in the same way, Jesus said, in the same way, he's talking to God, in the same way you gave me a mission, he said, I give them a mission to the world. And so what we need to recognize is God is at work in the world. God is at work in all areas of the world, and he wants us to join him. It is shared and it is specific. It is shared because that's what we're all supposed to do as the body of Christ, but it's specific because God calls each of us and each church to different tasks. And so I want to share with you, like for instance, Jesus said when he was age 12, I must be about my Father's work and my Father's business. And yet 21 years later, when he's dying on a cross, he said, it is finished. Recognizing a purpose-driven life where you could have, wouldn't that be nice on your deathbed, you can say, it's finished. I did what God called me to do. And so why mission? We need to fulfill our mission. And I'm going to rip through some of these, so hang in here. And I'm also going to put in some other stuff. But Jesus, why mission? Because Jesus commanded us, let me say that word again, commanded us to continue his mission. He continued that. The Great Commission, which is Matthew 28, said, therefore, and remember what I said when you see therefore, you got to find out what it's there for. Therefore, go and make disciples of our nation. No, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have told you. You see, it's not called the Great Suggestion. It's called the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is a demand from God. And so God holds us responsible for the least of these. And that's something that God really helped open my eyes. Pastor Oog and I have been in conversation, and one of the things he said to me very early on was this: hello, my brother in Christ, my friend, I am happy to see you want to support my church, my community. I am really sure what God wants, that I am working with you and help others develop the community. I asked him, what can we do? He said, your prayers, number one. Somebody who has nothing says your prayers. Support for children to go to school. A sound system and a generator for the church. And we also need chairs and benches. That's something at the end, all right? What else did we say here? What's the second one? What's the other reason why mission? Mission is a great opportunity, and it's a privilege. I don't think anybody here that went felt, or anybody I know, Carol's been on mission and other people, that you felt, man, I wish I had never done that, right? It is such a privilege to recognize that you are given something that you could never do. It's a privilege because you are working with God. And you're representing God. And guess what? All of you who have part of this church and have been here and supported us with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service, all of you are part of this mission, and you are partners with God. There are several things that have churchiness to it that isn't partnership with God. But I can tell you that this has been a partnership with God. 2 Corinthians tells us something very interesting at the end when it talks about it talks about when someone is new in Christ, they're a new creation. But at the end of that, on the second slide that I have there, it says, and God has given us the privilege of urging everyone to come to him and in his favor and be reconciled to him. Pastor Oog sent me this in the midst of just writing as we've been talking back and forth. And I just want to share with you some of his heart. And he said this: "Hello, Pastor, how are you? We cannot find the exactly the true word to thank Haven Community Church, your family, and you for all support you bring to my church and my community. All the members who are present want me to talk to you and give a great thanks for the generator that gave us for the well-being of this church and this community." He also wrote me this, and he said, "My brother, Pastor Jack, my brother and friend, is a pleasure for me to see God volunteer to help children in this community. He saw I can't do it myself. He used you to come and make a difference in my community. God is at work in the lives of others and so many of us." The next thing is, you guys are saying, this is the fastest sermon Jack has ever given. The next thing is, why mission? Mission is the greatest thing that we can do for others. It's the greatest thing that we can do for others. Think about it. If you had the cure for cancer or AIDS and you kept it to yourself and you did nothing with it, you would be the most evil, cruel person that walked the face of the earth. We have the greatest thing that has ever been given, and his name is Jesus. Jesus not only saves people, but he gives hope in a world that has none. He gives hope to people that 60-some percent of the whole Haitian population lives on less than $2 a day. He sends people who are so blessed by God to go ahead and just give them their love. But guess what? We receive something so much more in the midst of all this. You see, in Acts 4:12, it says, "Jesus is the only one who can save people. No one else in the world is able to save." And why is mission the greatest thing? Because mission has eternal significance. Pastor Oog wrote this to me. He said, "Pastor Jack, I am sincere towards you and your church. Now I can really preach the gospel in my community. I had something that tormented my life, my family, and my ministry. I do not know, and I can't explain everything to you, but I know that God sent you." On the back of this conversation, he said, "This morning, the members of my church asked me to tell Haven Community Church a great thanks for all that you have done and for the partnership that God has put us together with." Number four, mission gives a deeper meaning to life. If you look in your bulletin there, you have it. William James, the great philosopher, said, "The best use of life is to spend it for something that outlasts it." We all should be wanting to spend our lives giving to something that outlasts our lives. And I want to share something with you that even a mission team does not know. Pastor Oog sent me this a couple weeks ago, and he said, "Pastor Jack, I believe the time has come for the advancement of the ministry of my church and the ministry of your church. From this day on, your name is quoted among the leaders of our church. I will keep you informed that you can do in our church. I will write you later to find out more. Please pray for this." And then he shared this. But first, before I do that, I want to share with you something that happened. Back in February, we always have a leadership team meeting. And in that leadership team, it's kind of a retreat. And in that, I refocused what I believe the 5-year mission was for Haven. And I put it back, and I talked about stuff in our area, redefined space to be active with the community and homelessness and counseling and poverty. And then I wrote this down, feeling like this was from God. It said, to be active, local, USA, and in global missions, being not only a supporter of money, but actively schedule mission trips to areas that we, quote, adopt. And I'm going to let you know, we had no plans for a mission trip at that point. And then I had some other things that I said later on, and launching churches in other countries could be 5 years, being there as a mother church. Pastor Oog wrote me the other week, and he said this: "Haven Community Church is special for us in the community. For this reason, I must give the best of mine to you. And then, Pastor, in a few days, with Haven Community Church's permission, we will have, in my community, Haven Community Church Ministry. Inside," you guys don't know about this, "inside, you will find school, church, children's club, and others. We must pray a lot because the enemy doesn't want to see this. And when someone wants to do something good, may God bless this project. Wow. This is a move of God. This, you guys didn't expect that one, did you? This is completely a move from God. Completely a move from God. And ultimately, as we look at the end, and I wind this section up here, why mission? Because God brings, it brings glory to God, and God blesses our obedience. I am overwhelmed at the fact that last year we decided to do radical Bible study, and David Platt stepped all over my toes, and anybody who participated in that. I'm overwhelmed that the ministry that God had given me, and I didn't want to, I've said this before, I didn't want to go on this trip. I didn't want to do this because I would be, I told them I didn't want to go because I would have to be on all week as pastor. And I didn't have to be on 1 second because God was there before us. So guess what? Haven is no longer one church, but we are international. And so what happens next? What happens next is this is not a one and done. This is, you have this commitment card in here. And you don't have to give it today. We want you to pray about this. It'll be online options and other things. But after hearing more about Haiti and God's calling for our church, I am interested in to be a part of our ministry thereby. Number one, participating in a mission trip. We are not done. We are going to go back. We're going to spend so much money going and spending time in bad planes, good planes, and hotels and everything else. Donate to Pastor Oog and Gressier. Pastor Oog trained as a lawyer, but cannot find a job anywhere. And I know it's because God placed him here. He told me, Pastor, they have sent many, many churches have come and many churches have go, but God sent Haven Community Church to us. More about a future child sponsorship potential. We talked a little bit about Natalie, who was there. Natalie, who we thought was her father, is not her father. Her father, no one knows. Her mother gave birth to her and gave her to an aunt who already had 5 children. She would have no opportunity. We are actively working and trying to figure out so that we can have a solid professional program to send kids to school. And she's being our guinea pig right now. And she went to school for the very first time this week, 6 years old. You know how much it costs to send a little girl or kid to a private school fund that's supported by the United States? $166 a year for the tuition, plus other things. Okay? It costs more to get them there on a motorcycle. She rides every day on the front of a motorcycle. That's scary. All right? But next, learning more about Haiti and how I can participate. Continue to receive information ongoing and becoming a prayer partner. If you want to fill this out today, go ahead. We can have a collection somewhere. You can put them in where the prayer requests are or whatever else. We'll get them. What I'm saying is there are very few moments, very, very few moments in life, and I'm sure my dad could tell you in 43 years of ministry, where God hits something and you say, this is a God moment. And I want to tell you, this is a God moment. You are changing lives. His ultimate goal is to plan, have a whole school so that every kid in there can go to that school. You can educate an entire community. It's an awesome responsibility, but it's an awesome privilege to serve God in mission. He's changed my heart forevermore. I wake up every day thinking about them. I go to bed every day thinking about them. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. These are our other Havenites now, all right? And God will make way. Amen? I'm just going to go ahead and ask everybody to stand today. Wayne, I'll give you an extra song for next week already, okay? Let's just pray. And if anybody's near you, just grab their hand. And if you're freaked out about that, just say, no, I got germs, okay? All right. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you right now. I want to thank you that, I want to thank you for all the pain and hurt in my life. I want to thank you for helping me get it in perspective and helping get my life in perspective so I can look and I can say that, God, you placed this church here not only for this community and to meet the needs around us in our community, and we're not going to stop. We won't stop until addiction and homelessness are wiped off the face of this county. We won't stop till everybody knows the name of Jesus, and we got a lot of work to do. But God, I thank you that you found us faithful enough or dumb enough to follow you on a plane to a community in Haiti known as Gressier, that you have helped us change lives, and you have heard the prayers of Pastor Oog and his wife and his family, who when it looked darkest, God, you weren't early, you weren't late, but you were right on time. Thank you for the ministry of this church, that those who continue to give, not to just say, look at what I did, but give to change lives in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we are changing lives, and I know that there's a little child who we sat with in Haiti who one day may become a doctor that ministers and brings healing to that area. Or there may be a politician that stabilizes the government in Haiti. Or there may be somebody who becomes the next world's great pastor that shares with all of Haiti who Jesus is and how great he is. God, whatever you may have happen here, for the trips that continue, for the relationship, whatever it may be, God, may you be glorified in it. And we just be along for the ride. As we head from here today, I pray that every one of us will take that commitment card and we'll pray over what you would call us to do, that we may be as Jesus and say, right now that I have breath, I must be about my Father's business. And that one day, God, when you call us home, we can say it is finished. Because eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the things that the Father has prepared for those who love him. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord, with all our hearts. And boy, can we not wait till that day where you draw all your church, those here, Haven right here in America and Haven in Haiti, and we can all join together and say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. All praise and glory to you, God, Almighty Father. Be with us now. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And all your people together say, amen. Thank you all. God bless you. Have a great week. Didn't know that was coming, did you? All right.